Yeah. Summit County 911, what's the address of the emergency?
The story is true.
Summit County Justice Files.
All true stories on the Summit County Justice Files. I'm Tom Fricke from Crystal 93, and welcome to the Justice Files. It's your weekly dose of law and order, Summit County style, brought to you by Crystal 93 and the Summit County Sheriff's Office. I'm Tom Fricke with Summit County Sheriff Jamie Fitzsimons, and we are here to inform and educate and engage with our community.
Yes, but before we get started, just a quick disclaimer. The Justice Files exclude some of the more serious and sensitive offenses, as well as an ongoing investigation that could jeopardize prosecution. And of course, everyone accused of a crime is presumed innocent until proven guilty in a court of law.
Crime may not pay, but it sure makes for some interesting stories. So buckle up as we dive into the latest criminal activity, the lessons learned, and yes, more than just a few moments of law enforcement levity, because while justice is serious business, a little humor never hurt anyone. Unless, of course, it's our usual crime of bad jokes.
It is our usual crime.
Let's get into it. There are guests
guilty.
Staying at an Airbnb in unincorporated Dillon. They reported seeing a man lurking in the trees near their hot tub for about 20 minutes while they were using it. The man's presence made them feel uncomfortable, even though he did not seem to be doing anything specific, and they called in on this one.
Hi, I own a property in Summit Cove in Dillon. And I've had in the past problems with a neighbor harassing me, and I have reason to believe, I just received a report that there was a man lurking in the trees two nights ago, like kind of just lurking in the trees, peeping rather on my guests who were in the hot tub. And I'm not sure why they didn't reach out themselves, but I just wanted to make certain that there was a record of this, because, like I said, this is based upon the description that she gave and just kind of everything else that she shared with me, I wouldn't be at all surprised if it's the same person. Obviously, we can't jump to that conclusion, but he, a couple summers ago, was harassing me and, like, leaving dead things, and he threatened me. And then it's been pretty quiet.
You know that it was him lurking in the trees?
I don't know that it was him lurking in the trees, but I sure would like it to go on record that there was a man matching his description who was lurking in the trees. I know that when we were having issues a couple summers ago, he was not unfamiliar to the Summit County Sheriff's Office. It was two summers ago when I made the report. The sheriff made it very clear to him that he was not to have anything, you know, he was not to come anywhere near me or my property.
Sheriff's made it clear to him.
Why call 911 when you can call the property owner?
Right.
Because someone's lurking in the trees, staring at you in the hot tub. I wonder what they were doing in the hot tub.
I wonder.
Why lurk? Anyways, it turns out the deputies went and talked to the neighbor. And with our current fire restrictions and water restrictions everywhere, this guy decided that it's time to water his lawn and his plant. Hey, I don't write this stuff.
I'm picturing the people in the hot tub seeing this silhouette of a man holding this hose. It's like, oh God, what is he doing? What is he doing? Oh my God, call the police. Holy cow.
Of course he tells the deputies that he's watering his lawn.
Yeah, of course.
Because you're supposed to do it
after
hours, right?
After the sun goes down.
Or before the sun comes up.
Right.
Just happens to coincide with the best time to use your hot tub with your friends. Anyways, without any video, it was hard to prove that he did anything illegal. And so they just had a little conversation with the guy and said, maybe when there's people in the hot tub and it's after hours, maybe you don't have your hose in your hand in the bushes watering your lawn.
Or maybe turn on the back porch light so they can see what you're doing and not worry about it.
As we remind listeners all the time, you can't make this stuff up.
It's the Summit County Justice Files. Some things that can only happen in Summit County, Colorado. Let's talk about a search and rescue item. A large group of visitors were using a rental side-by-side when one of the vehicles they were using became stuck between a tree and an ice patch in the backcountry.
911, what's the address of the emergency?
The mountain. And we're stuck without service on a rental side-by-side, and we don't know how to get out.
Is anyone injured?
No, there's no medical emergency. We're just physically stuck. We had no service, so I'm using satellite.
Okay.
But we're stuck between an ice patch and a tree because we slid on ice and got stuck. We're at about 11,000 feet.
Okay, well, we will relay that to the rescue coordinator, but if you could just... answer all incoming calls, and he will determine the best course of action.
Stuck between a rock and a hard place.
No kidding. I mean, I know we don't have photos or video on this, but the photo was pretty amazing. I mean, this side-by-side was literally stuck between a rock and a tree.
Wow.
Yeah, it was crazy.
Wedged in.
Hey, the good news is at 11,000 feet, there's still snow.
Yeah, I guess.
I don't know why you're riding side-by-side on ice up there at 11,000 feet.
Oh, because you've never done it before and you wanted to try something new while you were in Colorado.
Rental was the key word there.
Exactly.
Yes. Yeah. Well, our backcountry deputies were able to find them, winch them out. Some of the people got left there at 11,000 feet while these other people hiked out to get cell service. But they left their friends saying, hey, we're going to take the phone and hike out. Uh-huh. We'll get you help.
Yeah, well, yeah. Just hang tight.
Don't go anywhere.
And how long did that take?
Worst case scenario, it'll eventually melt out and they can drive out.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, you know, they might be a little hungry by then.
Just a wee bit.
Our backcountry deputies have the equipment to get out there. They were able to get out there quickly to them and winch them out and get them unstuck in their rental vehicle. Story for the the books when they get home.
I'm sure that they probably have video.
I'm sure. Like I said, I saw a photo and I went, oh my God. Boy. Too bad the Justice Files is just audio.
Well, maybe we'll work on a video portion someday.
Because it could be funnier.
It could be. It could be. Next item, an intoxicated adult. A friend called deputies for assistance after enduring hours of nonsensical phone calls and texts from an intoxicated friend. Concerned for her safety, she requested that a deputy check on her.
Yeah, I love the nonsensical text.
Yeah.
I.e. drunk texting. The deputies did find her. She was heavily intoxicated. She was outside of her residence, and the nonsensical drunk dialing was all about that she couldn't find her keys that she dropped somewhere around the house and couldn't get into the house. Deputies ended up finding the keys because that's what we do. We're great key finders. Opened the door, let her in, and made sure that she was safe, and let her detox.
There you go.
And told her not to drive.
Right. Good. Very good. Thank you for that. Appreciate it. Boater assist item. A 26-foot cabin cruiser set sail on Dillon Reservoir, but they forgot to install the drain plugs, and that caused the boat to take on a lot of water.
Yeah. Summit County 911, what's the address of the emergency?
Yes, ma'am. There is a boat that just called us. They are apparently taking on water out near the middle of the lake. It is a white Sea Ray across from the Dillon Amphitheater. Is there a way to get in touch with one of the officers that is on the lake at the moment?
Yeah, we can get this over to them. Do you know how many people are on the boat?
I believe two.
All right, we're getting this out to deputy right now.
Thank you very much.
All right, thank you. Take care.
Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Drain the lake. That'll get all the boats out of there.
Hey, the lake is almost drained.
Right.
Just wait a few more weeks.
And there are no boats at the bottom of the lake, Dylan. Denver water will not allow that. If a boat sinks on Lake Dillon, that thing is getting out of there one way or another. Denver water will make sure.
It's coming out.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
it is coming out.
Yeah, so
we have pulled more than one boat that has sunk.
Did this one go down?
No, this one they actually were able to rescue and tow back. Our rangers, our boat rangers that are out there every summer, were able to tow it back to the Dillon Marina and give all the passengers a ride back to where they were picked up off Windy Point, one of the campgrounds there. But it's almost like a cartoon. A boat leaves without the place.
Yeah.
You get to the middle of the lake and you all of a sudden go, oh my God, Tom, there's 2 feet of water in the boat.
Right.
You know, in a stingray boat, those aren't like cheap boats.
No, man. I mean, any boat is not a cheap boat. There's no such thing.
There aren't a lot of cheap boats out there.
Yeah.
But yeah, we save the day, save the boat, save the people. That's what we do. We save people.
And it's just a reminder to
plug the boat.
Put your drain plug back in. I mean, the Lake Dillon dangers are pretty wicked as it is, but then you add the lack of a drain plug, and yeah, that will compound the problems.
Tom, what if you didn't plug your boat?
Well, my boat is self-bailing. It's got holes all over the bottom of it. It's a whitewater raft. It's not meant to hold water.
But it holds air, and if you didn't plug it.
It does hold air nicely.
Oh,
so far, so good.
So
knock
far,
on
so
wood
good.
For that one. Let's talk about this fraud item. There was a man from Summit Cove who reported an attempted fraud after receiving a disturbing phone call from an unknown number.
First clue.
Yeah, right. The caller claimed that the man had angered a cartel and demanded that he pay the money.
So I just got a very odd call from someone that's saying he is with the cartel, and he is sending me texts.
I would have asked which cartel.
Saying I have to pay him money for an agreement, or he's going to take my organs and kill my family. And I have that number for you right now. I'm just very confused, because it was like a spam potential. And I don't know. He had my name and everything, which I didn't like.
Okay. I'm going to get this over to a deputy.
Of course. Cool. Thank you so much.
Thanks. Bye.
Gonna take my organs and kill my family?
Now, Tom, if you received a call like this, wouldn't you like play with the guy and say, now when you say organ, do you mean like
Wurlitzer?
What
sort of brand are we talking about here? One of those Roland keyboards?
And have the cartel member know, no, I mean your liver.
No,
I don't know of an organ named liver.
Oh my gosh.
Well, as they always are, this was a spoofed phone number that we couldn't trace. You know, a web-based spoofed phone number.
Yeah.
The guy did not give up any money to the unknown cartel. He was obviously a little rattled, as anyone would be.
Yeah.
As this guy was not aware of these kind of spam, fraudulent calls, if you're not aware of fraud text messages and phone calls by now from cartel members, I don't know. It's like not knowing that Summit County's in stage 2 fire restrictions.
Who knew about that?
What? There's fire restrictions?
Oh, my gosh.
Is that,
now you tell me.
Oh, gosh.
I just want to know which cartel was threatening him, though.
Which cartel and what organ?
Right, exactly. Was it a local cartel or a foreign cartel?
Or was it Cartier? Did they just pronounce it wrong?
Yeah. Or, you know, maybe it was really a truck-tel instead of a cartel.
Ooh,
and that,
there's our bad jokes.
Okay, there we go. Jeez. Theft item. A resident of Dillon Valley placed approximately $200 worth of meat on his patio table to thaw for a barbecue. And while the meat was defrosting, an unknown man came by. Stole all of it and ran away. It wasn't a bear. It was a man.
I left it there. I left this in here because I'm like, who steals meat falling out by the barbecue?
Somebody very hungry, apparently.
But how are you going to? I have so many questions. We didn't find the guy.
Oh,
but if we did, I have so many questions.
And like, you didn't find the meat?
No, we didn't find the meat.
Oh, my gosh. This is going to be.
We canvassed the neighborhood like we would with any major crime.
An unsolved case?
This is an unsolved case.
How much meat was reported missing?
Well, $200 worth, which I guess today isn't a lot of meat, right? Because of the price of beef.
Of Wagyu.
Yeah. It is Summit County.
Yeah.
But, I mean, first of all, who leaves their meat out in the sun to thaw out?
wrong way to thaw your meat.
I mean, the guy, the owner of the original owner of the meat may have poisoned the thief by leaving it out in the sun and letting this thaw out. Who does that? Yeah, well. Anyways, as we do with any major crime, we set up a crime scene. We process the evidence. We knocked on doors. We asked people if they had Ring cameras. We are unable to locate a suspect.
No bloody trails from meat leading from the scene. Well, we'll hopefully get a resolution. Maybe, you know, somebody in the neighborhood's going to have a big barbecue and invite that neighbor over, and he'll recognize his meat. That was my meat. You took my meat. And then you'll get another call.
And then we'll get another call.
And we'll have another item on the justice files.
You know, I was thinking when I said, who steals meat? I mean, maybe by the time it was left out in the sun to thaw, it was cooked.
Could be. It was smelling pretty good.
Maybe the guy saw it, and it was smoking, and it looked kind of, you know.
Because, you know, it gets so hot on the sidewalk, you can fry an egg. How about cook a steak on your porch?
Why not?
Well, not here in Summit County. It doesn't really get that warm.
Well, until this summer.
Right. Well,
now all of a sudden, we're having 80 degree days like it's nothing.
I haven't seen any eggs on the sidewalk, so.
But we have ice at 11,000 feet.
Well, we got that going for us. MVADUI. Passerby witnessed a man drive his van into a ditch at the Frisco Transfer Center and then fail at his attempt to reverse out of the ditch and stumble out of the van and walk away. He called deputies to report the seemingly intoxicated driver at the Frisco Transfer Center. He just left his van.
Yeah, you know, again, if we had video, you know, there's video of this because that whole transfer center is on video.
Sure.
But this guy drives his friggin' van into a ditch, stumbles out of it, and is now leaning again, you know, doing the wobble, trying to see if, like, is it really stuck? You know what I mean? It's stuck. There's no doubt. But the look of concern, like, well, maybe it's not that stuck. Maybe it is. Maybe. I don't know. And then stumbles away. They catch up to him. He's obviously friggin' hammered. And what, like most hammered people, he's trying to make logical sense to the deputies about, I did that. And I got out and looked to see if I could, you know, remedy it.
I meant to do that.
And they got him to jail. He was three times the legal limit.
Holy cow.
He blew three times the legal limit.
And what's the legal limit?
0.08.
Wow. Three times that.
Yeah. Isn't that crazy?
All right. So the seemingly intoxicated driver was obviously quite intoxicated.
Yeah. You know what, like TV shows say, allegedly. Allegedly.
Yeah.
Allegedly, Tom did that.
No, this guy did. Guilty.
Allegedly, Tom's on the air every morning at Crystal 93.
Allegedly. Yeah.
Could be AI. We don't know.
Can't prove it.
You got to go there like I do to see Tom in action.
In person.
In person.
Don't encourage you to do that, by the way.
Please don't come by the studio.
We don't have people just randomly dropping by the studio unannounced. Hey, if you want to call ahead, I'd be glad to give you a little studio tour. Just don't drop by unannounced. I appreciate that.
What a PSA.
A menacing item. There is a woman driving westbound on I-70 who got into a brief road rage incident with another driver as she headed downhill from the tunnel. Another driver started tailgating her. Before she was able to change lanes, the vehicle swerved into the lane to her right and rolled down its window, displaying a black handgun pointed at her vehicle. The man sped off, and she later watched his vehicle exit at Silverthorne. She made a phone call.
Summit County 911, what's the address of the emergency?
Hi, I-70. I am going westbound.
Okay, perfect. Tell me exactly what happened.
Keep in mind, this lady just had a gun pointed at her. Look how calm she is.
I was coming out of the west side of the Eisenhower Tunnel, and I was in
from a big
the
city.
Westbound lane, and I had a white car following me, and then they passed me in the middle lane and rolled down their window and pointed a gun at me. They got off at that first exit.
Like it happens every day.
Yeah, it was a sedan. It had really dark tinted windows, and then it also had, like, claw marks across, like, the hood of the car.
Love the detail.
Did you see a plate?
It wasn't a plate. It was, like, a temporary plate before you get your real plate.
Could you? I know you said that there were tinted windows, but could you get a look at the driver?
No, if he didn't roll the window down far enough. He rolled it down enough just to put out a hand.
Could you see the gun?
It was a pistol.
Okay. Okay, we're getting this out right now, okay?
Okay, thank you.
Holy cow.
That calm under pressure.
Just, yeah, that's just amazing how she could
isn't that crazy?
The details and be relatively calm after somebody waving a gun at her, pointing a gun at her face. That's not cool.
Isn't that interesting? Like, how many of these have we done where it's the full spectrum? Right. I mean, you get people that, like, would freak out, crash their car, turn into six other cars because someone pointed a gun at them.
Right.
Then you have ladies like this is giving, like, pinpoint details about the car. And, like, oh, yeah, and he... Rolled down and pointed a gun at me. Oh, and tinted windows, paper plates. Wow.
Did you find him?
We did.
All right.
Yes.
Excellent.
Because she also calmly followed him down and watched where he got off and was able to tell 911 operator where, dispatcher, where the car got off. We did find him. We did stop him. Of course, denies everything. Consents to a vehicle search.
Oh, God.
You got to love those.
And what did you find?
A black gun on the passenger seat of the car.
How about that?
How about that? Hmm. He was arrested.
Yeah.
Felony menacing. Went to jail. Towed car. And those paper plates were not new plates. They were expired plates.
Oh, wow.
He failed to register that car.
I guess.
So whether he pays his bond and gets out and then has to go pay to get his car out. But, I don't know. Denying all that stuff and then telling cops, sure, you can search my car.
Sure.
And the gun's right there. Should have just said, yeah, you can search. The gun's right there.
It's right there.
Yeah. But that's not the gun that I pointed at her because I don't know who you're talking about and I didn't point it at her. But do I have a black gun? Yes, right there.
Guilty.
Yeah, he went to jail.
Yeah, good.
No, that was really good on her.
I pulled up behind a vehicle with temp tags the other day that expired last year.
Oh my God.
July of 25. And I did a double take, and it's like, oh, July. And it's like, wait, 25, it says on the... How the hell does he get away driving for over a year?
Are you sure part of the 6 wasn't, like, faded out and it looked like a 5?
No, it definitely was a 5. 2025, those things expired.
Did you call 911?
I didn't call anybody. I just looked and shook my head, thinking, well, there's another driver in Summit County.
There you go.
Wow.
You didn't call me? Thank you.
No, I didn't. I didn't want to waste your time.
I'm following a car that has expired tags. Where are you, Tom? I don't know.
So does it happen occasionally when a deputy just kind of rolls up behind a car that has expired tags?
Oh, yeah.
They just let's pull this guy over.
They're just asking to be pulled over.
Yeah.
I mean, it's crazy.
Wow.
And then you wonder, like you just said, when a deputy does pull over something like that, you're like, how for the last year has someone missed this?
Exactly. Yeah, maybe they just don't drive that car that much.
Oh, my God. They just pulled it out today. It was been in the garage for a year. Yeah. Grandma died a year ago.
I meant to redo those.
That's what happened.
A search and rescue item. Deputies received a report of a rock climbing accident at a popular climbing area right outside of Frisco in which a man had fallen 25 to 30 feet after the belay rope ran out and slipped. And we have audio from this incident.
911, what's the address of the emergency?
White Cliff, there is a man that just fell about 70 feet, and he is not moving.
Did you say 70 feet?
Yes.
And did you say White Cliff?
Rock climbing, White Cliff.
Wow, that woman sounded so upset, like she almost had a gun waved in her face or something like that.
And there's the spectrum, right?
Yeah.
Now that's appropriate response, right?
Yeah.
Like, oh my God, someone just fell.
Sure.
So this happened at the White Cliff in between Frisco and Copper.
Okay.
On the north side of the interstate, that really popular place where people go rock climbing.
Right.
And a guy and his girlfriend, the girlfriend was belaying him and ran out of rope.
Oopsie.
Fell to the bottom.
Wow.
It wasn't 70 feet. It was like 25 to 30 feet.
Still, that's a hell of a drop.
Yeah. And when the call came out, he was reported as non-responsive, as you saw. She said he's not moving.
Yeah.
Luckily, we got there, search and rescue, and our deputies, and, you know, assisted with medical care until the paramedics arrived. He did regain consciousness, complained of head and hip pain, and was... taken to the hospital and only suffered a concussion and very minor injuries.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, just,
when your ticket's not punched, it's not punched.
That is amazing.
Can you, for both of them, her like going, uh-oh, there's no more rope.
And then
and watching it go from your through your hands,
and
like,
just it's gone, and then it's gone. Here comes a body flying
in
down.
In front of your eyes.
Yeah,
and just, now you're calling 911.
Jeez,
scary stuff.
Yeah, well,
yeah. I mean, you know, hats off to our search and rescue folks, our backcountry deputies that respond to these things. Good stuff.
Absolutely,
saving lives.
That's what it's all about, keeping people safe.
Yes,
especially in the backcountry where weird stuff happens. A suspicious incident. There was a man who was noticed driving his truck on a hiking path in the Peak 7 neighborhood and then was observed cutting wood on private property. He was approached by a couple of homeowners who asked him to take his truck back to the road and stop cutting the wood. This led to a verbal altercation.
There's a man who drove his truck onto a hiking path. And I feel threatened by him. He's on my property. He yelled at my neighbor. He said he's going back into the forest and cutting down trees. And when my neighbor asked him to move his truck out of the way and not have it be on a walking path, he said he was going to cut slash and pile it around my neighbor's house. Then he walked on my property, and he's back there with a chainsaw. And I don't know what he's doing, but he doesn't have a right to drive a truck on private property. You know, I'm up here alone without my husband. My neighbors are elderly, and I feel threatened by him. I'd like someone to come out and talk to him and understand what he's doing and what our rights are. Because he yelled at me, and he has a chainsaw, and he was walking on my property and wouldn't get off of it.
I have a right to not be yelled at with a person wielding a chainsaw.
During the summer, we need a chainsaw sound effect. All these chainsaw.
What the heck happened
and
here?
And look how calm she was.
Yeah.
I feel threatened by a guy with a chainsaw, but
it's
I'm just
like right out of Friday the 13th.
My husband's gone and my neighbors were elderly and he might cut me up, but if you could just send someone over, it'd be great.
Where's that Nightmare on Elm Street then?
Who's the Chainsaw Massacre?
Yeah, that's the one. Okay. Yeah. It was one of those scary movies. Chainsaw, bloody man. So, I mean, after you see one of those movies and you see a guy with a chainsaw, you see your mind goes crazy thinking, what the hell can happen?
And this is one of these things, like you say, here's a guy driving on it's a social trail between some homes, a hiking trail up on Peak 7, which is one of our rural neighborhoods here. Uh-huh. And I guess he saw some trees he decided he wanted to start cutting down, and those were on private property, too. And then when the neighbor confronted him, he said he was going to take all the wood he cut down and stack it up against her house and let it burn down.
Wow.
I mean.
Okay.
Okay. We deputies caught up to him.
Good.
And, of course, he explained that this was all a misunderstanding.
Oh, of course.
And that, you know, that obviously his action and his words were misinterpreted. Mm. As always. And when deputies went and talked back to the homeowner, the lady that called, she didn't want to pursue any criminal charges with him. She just wanted him to leave the property and not come back. So that's what the deputies did. Told him leave and don't come back. Don't do this stuff here.
And he complied.
I mean, the details are, you know, of course, they ran him through the big computer. And,
right,
you know,
yeah.
His car was legal, and he was legal. And
local guy, or?
I don't know if he was a local guy or not.
Okay.
I hope not.
Yeah.
I mean, well. I hope not, and I hope so. Do you know what I mean? Like, it'd be horrible if it's some random person.
Well, we just know that whoever it was, they won't be doing that again.
Well, we
we hope.
Until next week.
Yeah.
Until you read it again in the Justice Files.
Suspicious activity. Deputies received a report of a suspicious-looking man who was described as hiding in the bushes before following a woman in the Summit Cove area.
I was out walking my dog in a home that's normally pretty vacant most of the year except for Thanksgiving and Christmas, and he was hiding behind the bushes in this neighbor's yard. It's at the top of the cul-de-sac. It's got stone all around the garage, which is a brown garage.
Okay, so if you're walking down the road to the end of the cul-de-sac, is it the house at the top on the left or the top on the right?
It's at the top, like...
Exactly.
In the middle.
In the middle. It's at the top.
It's at the top of the
top. Yeah, very top.
Okay.
pretty sure the top is the middle of the top.
50s or 60s, and it was either blue sweatshirt, gray sweatpants, or opposite. It was blue and gray, navy blue and gray. And like I said, I was coming to the top of the cul-de-sac, which I walk my dog every morning, and he was hiding behind some bushes. So I put my dog on his leash and kept walking, and he kept going back towards the house, which is totally closed up. It doesn't look like anybody was watching the house and came out. And then he kept coming back out. And as I keep moving, I keep looking back and looking at him, and he's watching me to kind of see where I go.
Okay, how long ago was that? Over to,
this was 10 minutes ago. As I was getting closer to my house, when I looked back, he was walking over to the neighbors. That would be, if you're looking straight up the cul-de-sac at the house, to the left. And he was walking, kind of watching me where I'm
middle
going,
left,
but walking through
left?
Their yards and in their driveways. And it all just creeped me out, so I had to call. He walked up to the house and just bent down like he was doing something, but he's doing nothing because the house is all closed up. It's not his house. And then he came back to hide behind the tree until I got further down back towards my house, and that's when he started walking over to the left, if you're looking at the house, into those three other houses, yards and driveways.
Sounds like somebody out watering their lawn.
Why prolong the ending?
Oh, my.
The reason why the guy was walking back and forth is he was watering his lawn.
Serious? It was not the same guy.
No. Okay. Not the same house. Not nothing. It's just another... I mean, people just aren't used to it with these water restrictions because hand watering is allowed.
Right.
So people are out there with their friggin' houses at dusk and dawn. And yes, he's walking between the homes and up and down. And you want to talk about it's all perspective, right?
Yeah, like absolutely.
You're out in the street and you're watching some guy and it looks like he's following you going back and forth. And he's just watering with his hose. Oh, my God. And when the deputies got there to talk to him, his wife had also been out there the whole time with him, but this person never saw his wife standing there.
Wow.
They're both out there just gardening.
Yeah.
But she was, perception is reality. I tell people all the time, people's perception is the reality. I mean,
yes,
that's...
It is.
But isn't that sad? It's another lawn waterer.
Oh, my God.
I think we're going to get a few more of those before the end of the summer here. As long as there's water restrictions.
Yeah.
Unless the lake runs dry and there's no water
at all.
And then we're going to get dust, yes. Dust devil calls.
All the growth will be shriveled and brown.
There was no criminal activity. There was no inappropriate behavior. There was just walking up and down the bush line, watering his lawn.
Be aware of those waterers after dark.
He was actually trying to follow the restrictions and do the hand watering.
Doing the right thing. I can't imagine his surprise when the deputies roll up on him. Like, what?
You can imagine his wife going,
yeah.
She thought he was what? He better not be doing that.
Better not. Not in the front lawn.
Maybe when I turned my back, he did that.
Innocent people just watering their lawns. Let's talk about this threat. A woman with two children in her car was looking for a parking spot at a popular wilderness trailhead when another driver turned her vehicle to block the road in both directions. The second driver exited her vehicle holding a 24-inch metal shovel and approached the woman's car in a threatening manner while waving the shovel around like a weapon. Fearing for her and her children's safety, the woman yelled at her to get away and then called 911.
County 911, what's the address of the emergency?
I'm at the lake. What is it? The Lily Pad Trailhead?
I'm at the Lily Pad Trailhead, and there's an irate woman who just pulled a shovel out on me, threatening to hit me. I have kids in the car.
And you said she was trying to hit you with
again,
what?
Again, calm.
A shovel. I was trying to get around her. We're trying to park at the trailhead, and she blocked the whole road, so nobody can get around right now. And when I tried to get around her, she stopped in the middle of the road and pulled a shovel out on me.
Okay.
I have two children in the car. We can as fast as possible.
Yeah.
So she's parking, and she's probably going to go to the trailhead. But now it's not safe for us to go in the trailhead.
Yeah.
Don't be scared, baby. That's what the police are for, guys. It's okay.
coming back towards
us. She's in a Subaru.
It's always those Subaru drivers.
Wow.
Sounds like somebody out trying to find a wildland fire to fight with a shovel.
You know.
And this woman, I'll be to her credit, she's staying calm because she's got kids in the car.
She's got kids in the car.
She doesn't want to see her, you know, the kids see her freaked out or anything like that. So good on her.
But sometimes you show up to these and it's like a plastic, you know, beach shovel.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right.
This was no joke. This was like a shovel. And she was this calm. The deputies caught up to her. This lady was like, yes, I did it. That's my parking space.
Okay.
With her car still in the middle of the road blocking because she was trying to show the deputies that she had the right to park there. This is our trailheads.
And she had that sign with her name on it to indicate
that was
a private parking spot.
She paid for the valet.
Yeah.
Yeah, the kid that sits in the booth right at the top of the street there.
Oh, my gosh.
But, I mean, this is how crazy people can be. Like, she was adamant about that. Like, she was right. Like, this is my space, and that's right. I threatened to beat her with this shovel. Needless to say, she went to jail for felony menacing and child abuse because it happened in front of the children.
Oh my gosh.
But she was adamant that she was right. Those are the easy arrests, right? Like, great. I got that all on body
right,
cam.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you. Let's
we're
go.
Good. Let's go.
Come on.
Turn
come along.
Yeah, we're going to tow your car.
Yeah.
So you'll have a parking space at the tow yard at a few hundred dollars a day.
Oh, man. Yeah. Again, that's a new one. I've never known anybody to think they have their own private spot at a trailhead parking. But some people.
Some people.
Campfire. There was a passerby reported a campfire along the side of the road near Loveland Pass. And when deputies arrived, they found a woman on the side of the highway, Highway 6, and she was tending to the small fire.
Yeah, you know, this is, I left this in here because I thought, what a cool thing, man. You come across, it actually reminded me of Leon Littlebird in a way, because this woman was doing a little summer solstice recognition, burning of incenses and welcoming the summer solstice.
Yeah.
And she knew that the following day that stage one fire restrictions were going into place, and she wanted to do this before the restrictions came in place.
Okay.
So everything she was doing was completely within the law. And the deputies stayed there for the rest of the little ceremony she did until it burned out and fizzled, and she went on her way. The deputies went on her way, and it opened up the beginning of the summer, the 21st.
There we go.
There it is.
Solstice celebration.
Solstice celebration.
But if you want to do any kind of celebrations at this point, you can't be burning your smudge or doing anything weird.
You can't do that now.
No sage burning at all. No burning of anything.
Nothing.
Nothing.
No.
Nothing gets burned.
Nothing. Just
nothing.
Yeah, until further notice.
Yeah. In case you don't know what we're talking about, it's stage two fire restrictions in Summit County.
Stage two now.
In effect
before
now.
Stage one, so it's escalated.
And stage two means no fires, no matter where you are or who you are. Basically, that's
amen.
The bottom line.
There's the PSA.
Yeah. Drugs and speeding, they go hand in hand. Deputy,
especially if you're on speed.
There's a deputy on routine patrol noticed a vehicle speeding in excess of 90 miles. Miles an hour in a 60-mile-an-hour zone. While following the vehicle, it was observed swerving over the lane markings several times. After monitoring the vehicle for a few miles, a traffic stop was initiated. What happened?
So the first thing the deputy noticed is as she's telling her story, she's talking at a million miles an hour. She's talking as fast as she was driving.
Oh, God.
And then so during the interaction, besides her talking a million miles an hour, you know, the deputy noticed some drug paraphernalia in her car and started asking her about it, and she admitted that she was been using meth.
Jeez.
As her teeth are falling out of her mouth. You know, after a thorough investigation, they searched the vehicle, found, you know, more stuff in the car. She was kindly escorted to the Summit County Detention Facility to booked on multiple charges besides the excessive speed,
excessive talking,
influence, possession of drugs. I mean, oh my God.
Wow.
And can you imagine that you just use a bunch of meth and now you're going to be locked in a 8x10 cell?
Wow, that's kind of a whole harshier buzz kind of a thing, right? Jeez.
Oh, my. It's probably not where you... And she probably had no idea she was driving 90. You know what I mean?
No, right.
Her mind is going so fast. She's
oh,
like,
man.
Oh, God. No, hey, another horrible driver taken off the road.
Thank you.
Didn't
to the Summit County Sheriff's
thank
Office.
God.
Yes, thank you. Ready report. Ready is report every drunk driving incident. And a driver called in a ready report after watching a vehicle on the Dillon Dam Road cross the solid yellow line several times while also driving about 10 to 15 miles an hour under the speed limit.
I'm just driving on Dillon Dam Road right now.
Okay.
I'm following a driver who appears to be intoxicated or having a stroke or something, and now they're pulling over.
It's one or the other.
He's pulling in the park right now. It's a,
what kind of vehicle is it?
The burgundy, like
Grand Caravan.
What did you see them doing?
Right as they got onto the dam, they swerved like 2 feet across the solid yellow line.
Okay.
With cars coming in the other direction.
Ooh.
And just like correcting kind of suddenly and like kind of drifting and then correcting really suddenly and driving like 10 or 15 under the whole time.
I have been on the phone with you. We've got this out to one of our sheriff's deputies, and they are in the area. So if they need anything further from you, they may contact you from a blocked or restricted number, okay?
Okay, sounds good. Thank you.
Did the deputies catch up with this person?
They did catch up to the person. They were under the influence. And by the time they booked them, the person was still twice the legal limit.
Oh, man. So how long does that take from the time they get pulled over to the booking process?
Oh, I mean, it's quick. I mean, you know, the county's not that big.
Right, right.
And there's a 20-minute observation period anyways, just to set a clock, a standard, and they were still that hammered. But, you know, this is another dangerous situation where these people actually watched them going to head on traffic. And thank God there was no accident. But, you know, all the law enforcement here out there doing all these DUI patrols and looking for people under the influence and taking dangerous drivers off the road like this is fantastic.
It's a good thing that we have the Summit County Sheriff's Office.
Amen.
Yes, indeed. Let's talk about a noise complaint. Deputies responded to a noise complaint in unincorporated Silverthorne after receiving a report of teenagers having a party on the side of the road. Those darn teenagers.
We have a bunch of teenagers partying at the top of the road right above our driveway.
Okay.
It seems to be every Sunday night. I called about 2 weeks ago. If the sheriff's office could send somebody up here just to break it up.
Do you have any idea about how many people, if you could approximate?
Gosh, you know, without going out there, I wouldn't know, but I would say it has to be at least 8 to 10. Loud music. They have flashlights. They were kind of coming down our driveway a few minutes ago, and because we have our windows open, we could hear it really loudly. Heavy bass beat. It's a recurring problem. I don't know if there's anybody on this side of the county, but maybe Silverthorne could take a pass up here.
Okay, perfect. All right, we'll send them out there. Would you like follow-up from the officers when they're done?
No, I just want to go to bed, but this is like every Sunday night.
All right, we'll send them out there, okay?
All right, thanks so much. Bye-bye.
You're welcome. Bye.
Summit County 911, what is the address of the emergency?
Hi, there's some parents that are drinking, and with their daughter, and I'm kind of worried about them. You guys should come right now because they've been drinking and they've been doing drugs, and the baby is only like 2 months.
Their baby's only 2 months.
2 months. Yeah, and he's trying to hit me right now.
He's trying to hit you.
No.
What you just played, that audio, that was the three people I talked about where the lady that you just heard calling in that was hammered was the friend of the couple. And she's calling in on the couple saying they're all arguing. And it was just a drunk friggin' argument about nothing. By the time the deputies got there, there was three people there still partying. A man and his wife and a friend of theirs. Of course, they were in the middle of an intoxicated argument, because those are the best kind.
Oh, yeah.
And when the deputies calmed everybody down and started checking identifications and seeing who was who in the zoo, you're going to love this one. So the man had a warrant out for his arrest. The wife, right?
Yeah.
Had a restraining order she's not allowed to be around her husband.
Oh, jeez.
And then the friend, and she also had a warrant out for arrest.
Of course.
And the friend had a restraining order where she wasn't allowed to drink. So all three of them got
violation.
Arrested. They all got arrested.
Yeah, they all got arrested.
Yeah, they all got arrested.
That was it. That's it.
So it ended the party real quick. So clean, I guess. Yeah, that was the end of it.
Traffic stop after witnessing a driver illegally pass somebody on the damn road. The deputy quickly realized that the driver was in medical distress and was choking.
How cool, well, not how cool is it that they were choking, but the deputy was able to recognize this, get behind the car, the woman pulled over. What's really cool is this is all caught on dash camera and body camera. Obviously, we don't have video. But the deputy literally saved her life. I mean, he got her out of the car just like textbook, got behind her. You know, she said that she was the universal sign for choking. Did the Heimlich, got the piece of candy out of her throat, and friggin' literally saved her life.
Oh, man.
And the video is amazing.
Oh, I bet.
Yeah, the video is amazing.
Can't wait till the video version of the Justice Files comes out.
He'll get a life-saving award for that, for sure.
Man, that is so cool.
Yeah, it was really, wow. I mean, like textbook.
Can you name the deputy? Want to give him a shout-out?
I don't have the name in front of me.
All right.
I don't want to say the wrong name.
All right. Okay. All right. Well, just know that the Summit County Sheriff's deputies are on it, man. You've got a great crew.
Great crew.
Yeah. Routine traffic stop ended in an arrest after the driver gave a fake name and date of birth to the deputy. And after a lot of back and forth, the driver was positively identified.
Yeah, this is, you know, this is one of those ones. You know, you and I always talk about, like, people get pulled over, they give fake names. We find out their real name. It turns out they've got warrants and they're hammered and they don't have insurance. And so this kid... He gets pulled over, and he gives the cops a fake name and date of birth because he thinks he might have a warrant.
Oh.
Well, he didn't have one, but now that he's lied to the cops, he's going to jail anyways. Yeah. I mean, it's like no matter what, you were going to jail. Like, if you gave a fake name and you had a warrant under your real name, you were going. And now that you've lied, you're going.
What did he think he had a warrant for? He just thought he had a warrant. Maybe he wasn't sure.
Obviously, there's probably a warrant coming down the system. He probably figured it was already active, so he was going to lie his way through it. And the kid was really pissed off that, like, I guess I didn't have to lie, and now I'm going to jail anyways.
Yeah, well,
you're going to jail anyways.
That's what happens. Jail is where you wind up when you do bad things. A man in custody at the Summit County Detention Facility enlisted the help of his ex-girlfriend to bail him out of jail. He instructed her to contact his friend, who had told him that he was a bail bondsman, and to pay him the money needed to get him released. Well, I smell a scam.
You know where this is going.
Yeah.
Yeah, this guy that he got the name of a guy that was going to come bail him out was all a fraud. The guy did meet with his ex-girlfriend. She gave him the money, which she could have just come down to the jail and paid it.
Right.
But anyways, she didn't. He actually provided her a receipt that made her think she was going to go bail him out. And, you know, later when the guy never got bailed out, the girlfriend called deputies. Deputies confirmed that, yeah, that's a fake receipt. There's no such bail bonds company.
Oh, Jesus.
And the guy ended up sitting in jail now, and now he's out all this money.
And we don't know who the scam artist was at this point.
This is one of these things where I say I have questions. Like, why didn't you just tell your girlfriend to come straight down to the jail and bail you out?
Uh-huh.
Or do it over the phone.
Maybe the bail bondsman offered a discount.
I'm sure this is how it went. Whoever he's in jail with said, hey, dude, I got someone that can just have your girlfriend call, you know, Tom. At this number, and he'll get you out. Oh, great! I'll give it to my girlfriend right now.
Awesome.
Oh my God.
There was a disturbance. Security at the hospital called deputies after a man started yelling and causing a scene after being told what it would cost him to have an injury treated.
Suffolk County 911, what's the address of the emergency?
We have a disrupted individual. They're violent, wants to...
Male or female?
Male.
Okay, hang on one second. We're getting people back.
Just send them quick if you could.
Yeah, we're getting them there as quick as we can. Any weapons?
No.
Okay. Have anything been physical?
No.
Okay.
You.
For what?
Your attitude.
For what?
You can't control your emotions. You are awful. You can't act like that.
Is he under the, is he on, in, I believe he's intoxicated on drugs or alcohol?
I don't know.
Okay.
No! I'm going to see you, you motherfucker, for getting in my face! I was communicating with my
life. Wow. Oh, man.
Can you imagine being in the ER at the hospital here and
having to deal with that?
And you're like, you're there needing stitches in your finger and you're listening and you're seeing this someone go just crazy?
Oh, jeez.
So this guy was upset about, he was told the cost of care for him and he flipped out. And this was him flipping out. And you can hear how calm the security guy was again on the phone. This guy then took off inside the hospital. Deputies end up finding him hiding in the hospital, calmed him down. The hospital didn't want to pursue anything other than get him out of the hospital and tell him not to come back. You know, go find care elsewhere. So obviously it was nothing that was life-threatening. That, you know what I mean? It's not like they're going to throw someone out that that needed life-threatening care.
Right.
But, I mean... this is what happens in hospitals.
And our local hospital is no exception.
God. You know, thank God that, you know, between us and Frisco, because Frisco's right there, that there's always somebody close by. And the hospital obviously makes it, you know, really comfortable for law enforcement to come by and kind of plant themselves there if they're not, if you want to come do a report and have cookies.
Oh,
you know
there
what I mean?
You go. Oh,
yeah, that's really
that's
cool.
Where you guys go.
Yeah,
okay. Well,
it, you know.
Just one of the many secret hideouts.
One of the secret hideouts. Yes. But, yeah, if they can find time, you know.
Yeah.
They're so busy now. But,
right.
But the hospital is always asking for law enforcement. Like, if you guys don't mind just walking through the ER. But imagine being on that side of, of their profession, saving lives, and now you're worried about your own safety.
Right.
It's terrible. Terrible.
Well, everything got under control.
Yes. He left. He left and didn't come back.
That's a good thing.
That is good.
Boater assist incident. There were rangers that were responding to an overturned sailboat on the Dillon Reservoir with four occupants. Windy conditions overwhelmed the sailors and their boat capsized.
You know, we talk about this every summer about how these winds come up.
The emergency.
I'm on the Dillon Reservoir in a rented pontoon near the Blue River Arm, and a sailboat just tipped over, and we don't, I don't know anything beyond that. We just watched it tip over. We're in a rented pontoon. We're going to go over there. We've got life jackets.
Do you see anyone in
yes, they're in
water?
The water.
How many people are in the water?
At least three, I would say, from here.
Are they wearing life jackets?
I can't tell you. I don't know. I'm trying to get closer. It's going to set off my GPS alarm when I get close. It's going to be really loud. But I feel like I need to get over there.
Wow. Dangerous conditions on Lake Dillon can pop up at any time, and sailboats.
At any time and all the time. I mean, we talk about this all summer long, these incidents that happen on the lake. This one, the guy that called in, you know, said, I got to get over there. Thank God there's people like this in this boating community.
Right.
You know, like you're part of.
Yeah, looking out for each other.
Looking out for each other. He saw people go in the water. He thought there was three. There was actually four. One was a 10-year-old little boy.
Oh, wow.
That he actually rescued.
Yeah.
Right? His deputies pulled up. He was pulling. He was prepared to pull all four people out.
Yeah.
But he got the 10-year-old out, and then our rangers got the other three out. Got them all back to safety, and then came back and righted the sailboat and towed it back to the marina. But boy, these things, you know, we've talked about incidents on the lake where these things come up, and we'll have, you know, dozens of boats, paddle boards, canoes overturned, and, you know, 10, 20, 30 people in the water at the same time. Mm. Crazy.
Gets dangerous on Lake Dillon.
Dangerous.
Yeah. And it's a good thing that there's somebody nearby to help out and rescue.
Yeah. Our Ranger program is just what a successful program on that lake every summer.
Now, is this a Dillon Marina rental boat, or was it a personal private craft?
The sailboat was private. The pontoon was the rental.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right. That's what you got to do when you're out of the water. You got to look out for other people, including yourself.
Yeah, and this is why we're so strict, like a zero tolerance policy on PFDs. I mean, this is why. Because people just don't understand. You know, we're not trying to be jerks about it. It's just that if you're not from here and you don't know how these winds and these microbursts happen, in an instant, it goes from sunny blue sky and having a great time to, I'm going to drown.
There are seasoned professional sailors who have been around the world, and they say that Lake Dillon is probably one of the most dangerous bodies of water to sail in the whole wide world.
Isn't that crazy?
Just because of what we talked about, the winds and the unpredictability of it and the elevation. Yeah. Above 9,000 feet, above sea level.
And the temperature of the water, even in the middle of summer.
It's cold.
Yeah, you get below that first 12 inches of water.
Yeah. It's a shocking cold as well, too. So, yeah, make sure your PFDs are on and well fit, and let's stay safe. Okay?
Why not?
That's a wrap for this week's Justice Files. I'm Tom Fricke with Crystal 93, here with Summit County Sheriff Jamie Fitzsimons. And remember, knowledge is power, and a little laughter along the way doesn't hurt either.
Yeah, just so we're clear, a little reminder of our disclaimer that our coverage does not include every criminal case. We leave out the most serious and sensitive cases. And remember that all suspects are presumed innocent until proven guilty in a court of law. With that said, stay safe, stay informed, and if you're thinking about committing a crime, well, maybe don't, because it never ends well, and you just might end up as our next feature.
Until next time, this is the Summit County Justice Files, where law meets laughs, and justice always has the final say. You can also find the Justice Files on the Summit County Sheriff's Office website at summitsheriffcolorado.gov. And as always, Summit County Sheriff Jamie Fitzsimons, thank you for your service.
Thank you, Tom. Happy 4th of July weekend.
Independence Day. Keep them fireworks out.
Out. We're not doing them.
Don't.
None.
None.
None. Zero.
None at all.
Don't light anything.